Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, learn exactly how, where, why, and when to draw the line in your Christian life.
The world is trying to tell us all the time that you must approve of our sin. You must take down the guardrail, and we can't do that. We can't approve of sin. If we do that, we're going to be unfaithful to God. They hate the guardrail. That's the problem. They hate the guardrail, and they don't want there to be guardrails. And they say, you approve of our lifestyle, you approve of what we're doing, you approve of sin, and we can't do that. Daniel wouldn't do that. He knew he couldn't do that.
In today's world, how is a Christian to remain faithful to God and yet still love a lost and dying world? Is there truly a way for believers to not compromise their faith and yet still make a difference? Thanks for joining Pastor Jeff Shreve today on From His Heart as he continues teaching us about how to safeguard our hearts while respecting the boundary lines, the guardrails, really, that God has put in place for our own welfare. The message today is entitled, When to Draw the Line, and it's from Pastor Jeff's timely series, The Truth in Love. Open your Bible now to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, as Pastor Jeff begins to encourage us to put down the pencil with an eraser and pick up the permanent ink, because it's time to draw the line.
Daniel, chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. That's 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. That was to signal his great victory over the God of the Jews. Verse 3, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names for them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. The story of Daniel and his three friends. They knew when to draw the line. They knew how to live as strangers in a strange land. We can learn so much from them. I want you to notice with me three lessons from Daniel chapter 1. Lesson number 1, we must be careful with the indoctrination of the world. Daniel and his three friends were going to be, they were taken to Babylon 605 BC. It's called, in seminaries, they call that the first deportation because Babylon came back two other times. And every time they came back to slap Jerusalem around a little bit, they would take more captives. They came back first time 605, then they came back in 597, then they came back the third time, the final time, 586 BC, and that's when they wiped Jerusalem off the map, so to speak. They took Solomon's temple and destroyed it. They broke down the wall. They pretty much just razed the city to the ground. It was horrible. Jeremiah talks about that. There's a book in the Bible that talks about it. It's called Lamentations. Lamentations is written, it's kind of interesting little book, five chapters, Four chapters are 22 verses, and each, it's an acrostic because the Hebrew alphabet is 22 letters, and each verse is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the A to Z of lament and mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem. Bad things happened during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. But here it is, 605 BC, he takes these guys and he's going to indoctrinate them in the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans is just, it's a synonym for Babylonians. They were known as Chaldeans before they were Babylonians. Remember, Abraham came from Babylon. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. And that's the home of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. And so he's going to teach them all this stuff. He's going to indoctrinate them in the ways of the world. Now, remember this, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world is cradled, that's literally what that word means, is cradled in the lap of the evil one. And the world speaks to our society and to our culture. The world speaks to us, it speaks to our kids, it speaks to our grandkids. We need to be careful with the indoctrination of the world. And students, when you go off to college, you know, it's really sad when students go off to college and they grow up in a church and they hear the truth and they go off to college and then they jettison the truth and they embrace liberalism. And they say, well, the Bible is full of errors and you can't trust the Bible and morality is obsolete and all those things that we just talked about. They end up believing all of that. Hey, you don't want to leave home without a rock solid faith in God and in His Word. Second lesson, we must get our boundary lines from the Word of God. Verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank, so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Daniel knew where to draw the line, and the line was this. It's not learning the literature and language of the Chaldeans. It's not in changing my name. It's in what I'm going to eat. Because the king gave him and gave all those guys the choice food of the king, the meat that had been sacrificed to idols, the things that God said, those aren't kosher. You can only eat clean animals. You can't eat unclean animals. And none of you boys can have a ham sandwich. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Bacon and eggs, we don't do that. And so here they are, and you have this food coming to you, and you're a 15-year-old kid, and Daniel said, I'm not going to eat that. I've made up my mind that I'm not going to defile myself with this food because God has made it clear in His Word that I'm not supposed to eat that. And for me to eat that, I would be violating God's Word, and I would be defiling myself. He knew where to draw the line. He drew the line based on the Word of God. Listen, you and I, as we live in this world, we have to make the decision that we're not going to defile ourselves. We're not going to stain ourselves and pollute ourselves with the things of this world, with the things that God has said no to. And Daniel and his three friends said, I can't do that. I can't defile myself. They made up their mind. I'm going to remain pure. And I'm going to say no to certain things. And this is where students, so important. It's so important to say no up front to certain things that can get into your life and eat your lunch. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography. Those things can get into your life and they can eat you alive. It's best to say no to those things. See, I heard James Dobson say this one time years ago. He said, you know, if we open the door to certain things in our lives, we think, oh, that's harmless. A little bit of social drinking, oh, that's harmless. I can let that into my life. But so often, then that thing that was quote unquote harmless, now it's starting to take over. And I can't push it out the door. Remember what Jesus said to Cain? Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, yet you must master it. Don't let that in, because if you let it in, it can take over. Now, will that be true of everyone? If everybody says, well, you know, if I start socially drinking, I'm going to become an alcoholic? Maybe not. Maybe so. Who knows for you? You talk to a bunch of alcoholics, you say, did you think that if you took a drink, you were going to become an alcoholic? No, it wasn't going to happen to me. But it did happen to you. As the old proverb says, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes the drink, then the drink takes the man. And then the man has trouble wanting to get this gorilla off his back and he can't do it. Hey, Daniel said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's choice food and with his wine. It's been sacrificed to idols. It's not kosher. It's not for me. And I want to come out from among them and be separate. And I want my life to count and I want it to make a difference. Hey, we have to make up our minds that we're not going to defile ourselves. And some of us have opened the door to certain things and those things have come in and we're trying to get them out. And it's not easy to get that out. You know, the new thing today that kids like to do especially is this thing called vape. So it's like the cool thing. You know, it's like we don't smoke cigarettes, we vape. And you think it's no big deal. It's a big deal. Why? Because you can get hooked on that. And then you're trying, and people are spending all kinds of money and trying to get off of nicotine, but their body has a craving for that and they can't get off of it. Hey, just say no to that. When I was in seventh grade, Riley Epps, I was sitting next to him in English class. He was dipping skull in class. He said, Shreve, you want to try some? I said, well, I've never done that before. I said, aren't you supposed to spit? He said, yeah, but we're in class. I said, well, what do? He said, I just swallow it. He said, here, try some. I said, I better not. But it got planted in my head. I'm gonna try this stuff. And so later on, a week or two later, I went to the store with some friends and I wanted to get some skull, but they didn't have any skull. All they had was Copenhagen. So I got some Copenhagen. Some of you ladies that dip Copenhagen, you know what I'm talking about. And so I got some and I stuck it in between my cheek and gum and I was thinking I was so tough and I was spitting and I said, man, this stuff is great. I'm gonna have some more. And all of a sudden the room began to spin. And I threw up and threw up and threw up and threw up and it cured me of wanting to dip skull. You know, those kinds of things, it's like, there's a reason why you get sick. It's because your body is saying, hey, dummy, don't give me this stuff. This is not good for me. And get this out. You know, you intoxicate yourself with alcohol. It's a toxin. It's a poison. That's why so many people throw up when they get drunk. Why? Because your body is saying, this has to come out. This is bad for me. Bad for you. Hey, we can't allow ourselves to be defiled. We have to say no. Draw a line in the sand on things that are gonna hurt you. Be wise when it comes to those devastating things. Secondly, we can't set ourselves up for defeat. You can't play around with sin. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And many of the young people, you have to be careful concerning who you hang out with. Because if you hang out with lug nuts, you're going to do the lug nut stuff that they're doing. You hang out with people that are wanting to pull you down, well, you're going to be pulled down. When I became a Christian, 17 years old, all my friends are non-Christians. I didn't have any Christian friends. I thought Christians were weird, and I didn't really understand what a Christian was. And then I became one. And then all of a sudden, I was like, okay. And so going out with my buddies as a Christian, well, what do they want to do? They want to drink, and they want to chase girls, because that's pretty much all we did. And maybe we'd get into a fight. That would be fun. So we'd drink, we'd chase girls, and maybe fight. And so that we had a great night, you know, that kind of thing. And so I would go out with them, but they would be drinking, I wouldn't be drinking. And all of a sudden I'd see these guys as they would get drunk. I'd think, you're an idiot. I didn't recognize before you were an idiot because I was an idiot too. But now I see because I'm sober that you're an idiot. And I can't believe that I went out with idiots. Now I love those guys. They were my friendly idiots, but they were, you know. And so here it is, it's like, I can't keep doing this because I knew if I keep going out with these guys on Friday and Saturday night It's only so much time before I say, yeah, I'll have a beer. And then I'll have another, and then I'll have another, and then I'll be right back doing what I was doing before. Hey, we can't set ourselves up for defeat. Daniel had Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Those guys held together, and they were the only ones. There are many Jews that went to Babylon. They were the only ones that are going to walk with God because the other ones never get mentioned. Don't set yourself up for defeat, and don't approve of sin. See, we can't do that. We can't approve of sin. The world is trying to tell us all the time that you must approve of our sin. You must take down the guardrail. You must say that this is not supposed to be there and what I'm doing is right. And we can't do that. We can't approve of sin. If we do that, we're going to be unfaithful to God. Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe if you do that. We can't do that. They hate the guardrail. That's the problem. They hate the guardrail. And they don't want there to be guardrails. And they say, you approve of our lifestyle. You approve of what we're doing. You approve of sin. And we can't do that. Daniel wouldn't do that. He knew he couldn't do that. And then we cannot let consequences overrule God's commands. What would happen if you don't eat the king's choice food? Well, the king could get upset with you. And if he gets upset with you, he would probably kill you. See, Daniel tells Ashpenaz, the guy that's over all the officials and over the teaching, and says, I don't want to defile myself. Can I have something else instead of the king's choice food? How about some vegetables and water? And Ashpenaz says, well, if we did that, and then the king looks at you and you're looking gaunt and not very well fed, that he's going to look at me and I could lose my head for that kind of a deal. I mean, it's dangerous to draw the line in the sand because the world may come back at you. It was dangerous for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3 to say, King, I don't care what you do. I'm not bowing down to your image. Well, then you're going to go in the fiery furnace. Okay, then I go in the fiery furnace. That's the way it is. It was dangerous in Daniel when Daniel chapter 6, they said, you can't, the king has made a decree. You can't pray to any other god except the king. And it's according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which can't be changed. And Daniel, if you pray to your God like you've been doing morning, noon, and night, then we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel says, okay, throw me in the lion's den because I can't be unfaithful to God. We must get our boundary lines from the word of God and know that there can be consequences. And we can't let those consequences overrule God's commands. Be faithful, Jesus said, until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And then lesson number 3, we must walk in humility and show respect for all people. Daniel sought permission that he wouldn't defile himself. He didn't say to Ashpenaz, well, you're never going to understand this anyway, Ashpenaz, because you're a pagan. You worship the moon god, Aku. What an idiot. He didn't do that. He said, listen, Ashpenaz, this is going to defile me. I have made a commitment to God, and I can't eat that food because that food is going to defile me. He didn't try and come up with a different plan, just saying, you know, I have a little bit of IB, and this rich food is not good for my irritable bowel. He didn't do that. He said, this is a conviction that I have. But he did it with humility. He did it with kindness. He did it with grace and respect. You and I, as we are shining and sharing, as we're speaking the truth in love, we can act in love, kindness, and still have conviction. It doesn't have to be an either or. We can act in love and we can act in kindness and we can still have conviction. And then we can trust God to bless us for our obedience. So Daniel says to Ashpenaz, hey, I can't eat this food. It's going to defile me, and I'm seeking permission. And the guy said, well, I can't give you permission because then that could be off with my head. Verse 11, But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of your youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servant according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. Hey, if all you have is vegetables and water, you're going to lose weight unless God blesses your obedience. And that's what he did with these guys. And God blessed them for honoring him. And they looked better than anybody else. God just made them, they looked fit and they looked healthy. And they had good color and everything. It's like, wow, vegetables and water, that's the way to go. No, it was God's blessing upon them. And so we are humble and we show respect for people. And we just know that God is going to bless us for our obedience. And then we must be willing, lastly, to give our very best. How do we live in this world? We're Christians in an unchristian world. We've been sent to Babylon, so to speak. We're living in Romans chapter 1. How do we do it? You give your very best to your job, to your schoolwork, to your family. Wherever you are, be all there and give your best and be an example. That's what Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were examples. And they studied that stuff and they learned the things they need to learn. And when Nebuchadnezzar checked them out and talked to him, he said they were 10 times better than anybody else. And God blessed them and God used them because they gave their very best. Listen, the Bible says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we must be careful with the indoctrination of the world. We must get our boundary lines from the Word of God, and we must walk in humility and show respect for all people. People are not the enemy. They're our reason for being here. They're those for whom Christ died.
Well, we've seen today how important it is to not compromise with the world, but hold firm to God's unchanging standard for living. You've been listening to part two of the message, When to Draw the Line, and we've learned that we can remain faithful to God and yet still love a lost and dying world. Some enriching insights today for sure. But here is the big takeaway. God has called you and me to speak the truth in love to our lost and dying world, and to do it now. Period. Full stop. And what we're learning in this message and in the entire series, The Truth in Love, is how to declare God's truth and demonstrate His love while not jumping the guardrails. This timely series contains 7 messages to establish you in God's truth and equip you to share it with others with boldness and accuracy and benevolence in our secular world, even when you must draw the line. This powerful and transparent series is our thank you gift for your support this month to help us continue on this station and on others around the nation and around the world each and every day. Pastor Jeff volunteers his time and resources to this separate nonprofit organization called From His Heart, so we can teach the truth in love to a hurting world. So please request your copy of The Truth in Love when you make your gift today. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. When you do, you'll be helping people discover who Jesus really is and help them grow in their relationship with Him. Well, thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we trust that the message was a blessing to you. We hope you'll be back tomorrow for another powerful message from the series, when Pastor Jeff will share what God is going to do for you when you blow past the guardrail. Be sure to join us on Wednesday, right here on From His Heart. His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.